It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Earlier today, a shocking, shocking development in the zero-tolerance policy by the Trump administration. The president actually reversed his policy of separating families who have come to this country illegally. He signed an executive order today and said it's about keeping families together while at the same time being sure we have a very powerful, very strong border. Joining us now to talk about this is the former governor of Arizona, Mac and Gatos political insider, Governor Jan Brewer joins us. Governor, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing good.
So, Governor, were you on board with the president's policy separating children from their parents?
Well, you know, I'm on record of saying that something has to be resolved, and certainly it was a heartbreaking thing to see. And so today, with this breaking news, I am very happy. I am absolutely delighted that he signed the executive order, and now the devil's all in the details.
So while it was going on, were you pulling your hair out like the rest of us, though? Because,
well,
I mean,
well, of course, yeah. Yes. You know, I think that everybody was concerned about the situation. Not that it hadn't happened before, but it was such massive coverage and so many kids. It was breaking your heart.
I think the interesting thing, Governor, though, is like you are such a Trump supporter and have been from the very beginning. And even staunch conservatives and Trump supporters were hating this.
They were hating this. I mean, we have, and President Trump has a heart. He said that when he signed the executive order, that he indeed didn't like the sight of families being separated. And so he was also moved, and he did what I believe was the right thing to do. The bottom line, though, in regards to all of this, is that our border needs to be secured so we are not faced with these kinds of issues. And now we're up against other issues that are going to have to be resolved in the next few days. This really tangles the whole issue up in concept, because you've got the Flores v. Rios situation that she's going to have to sign off on whether he can do this or not, because she's the one that sent the decree down saying you could only keep them for 20 days. Well, if they're going to keep these children, in my opinion, with their parents until they are adjudicated, it's going to be longer than 20 days. So there's going to have to be some compromise from all sides. And, you know, we were all going to be sitting here with bated breath to see what they're going to do. And just so many things, guys, go through my head about, like, how are they going to house these kids? I know Secretary of Defense Mathis says they can use military bases. How are they going to transport them in units to get them out to these bases, these facilities? The airlines, they don't want to transport anymore. They're on record saying they're not going to transport immigrant children on their planes.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many issues that we have to wait to see at the end of the line how this all plays out.
Former Governor Jan Brewer, Mac and Gatos political insider, joins us after earlier today, the breaking news. Trump has reversed course and has signed an executive order to keep families together who come here to this country illegally. Governor, I was shocked. I really was. I thought that this would continue even maybe into September, October for the midterms. I didn't think he would reverse course. Why do you think he reversed course so soon?
I think there were a lot of prayers for a solution, and I think that God has answered those prayers. This is the right thing to do. I think that he was touched himself. So what I've heard is that his wife, Melania, and Ivanka agreed that this was a horrible, horrible crisis.
I get that, but when you say prayers were answered and people got, don't you think somebody in that administration would have said, hey, the blowback on this is too much? I just can't believe that suddenly, all of a sudden, Ivanka and Melania just went down to the Oval Office and said, OK, this has to stop. Yeah. You don't think he ever thought about the blowback on this?
It was a blinking game. There's no doubt about it. Who's going to blink first? Is it going to be the liberal left, or is it going to be the president of the United States? Well, he did. He blinked. He understood the dynamics of it. He understood the politics of it. He did what was the right thing to do, and I hope he gets the credit for it. And now those people that have wanted open borders for, you know, 50 years, they need to compromise. And by God, the Congress needs to move on this. They've got two bills tomorrow that they can move on, and they better move. They better do something. We are fed up. We are tired.
Governor Brewer, I agree with that part of your statement. I'm fed up with Congress. I don't think they can get anything done.
And we shouldn't have open borders.
Of course
absolutely not.
Of course not.
No.
But But there is no way I can give Trump any credit for what he did today. Because
he allowed it to happen in the first place.
He knew what was going to happen. He allowed it to happen. He lied about it and said it was a Democratic law. Governor, there's no law. There is no law in the books by the Democrats that said separate parents from children.
I'm not entirely sure of that.
I'm sure.
Well, I'll agree to disagree with you on that. I believe that there is a law that says that the children have to be separated. Why else would have they done that? Why would have Obama done that? Why would have it been done under Bush if it wasn't a law?
There isn't a law. There never was a law because, Governor, if there was a law, Trump couldn't have changed it today. He couldn't have signed an executive order to change the law.
Well, and there's a very good possibility, gentlemen, that there will be an injunction filed against him by doing this executive order. That's another thing.
Now, who would file that?
This is just playing out. You watch. I bet there will be an injunction filed by somebody.
But who would, you mean like a congressman or a private person?
Who knows? Anybody can file an injunction, a special interest groups, organizations, a person, anybody can.
Okay.
And here we go. We start going down that path. But I think that there's a possibility that an injunction will be signed.
Governor Jan Brewer is joining us, Mac and Gatos, political insider. This is an interesting part of the story. I think that several prominent women helped get Trump to change his mind. Ivanka, Mrs. Trump, Mrs. Bush, Mrs. Obama, Mrs. Carter. I kind of hate to say this, Hillary Clinton.
Well, she's a former first lady.
She is a former first lady. There were several women that came out who high profile and at least led saying, you know what, this is the wrong way to go. What are your thoughts on
Agreed.
That? Yeah,
I agree. I believe that it was people stepping up and calling for a solution to this situation. And with a lot of those people, you know, they still want our borders secured. They want some type of comprehensive immigration platform enacted by our Congress, but they weren't going to sit by idly. And it had an effect. It worked. I mean, and it was the right thing to do. I don't have any qualms with it whatsoever at all. I agree totally. This was the right thing to do. But it doesn't mean that in the next 2 or 3 days that this is all going to fall down perfectly clear, because we've got people in the United States that will file, I believe, an injunction. I don't know. I hope that it doesn't happen that way. I hope that they can move forward and that they can find facilities for these families to be there. I hope they can find transportation to get them to those facilities. And it's going to cost a lot of money to move. How many people are we talking about? 10,000 people?
A lot of people.
Former Governor Jan Brewer joins us. Do you think this has an effect on the midterm elections? Do you think people remember this in November and say, if anybody that is running currently supported this, I can't vote for them?
I do believe that it'll have an effect on both sides. I think that there will be pushback from the Democrats, and I think there'll be pushback from the Republicans, from different fractions of the parties. And if Congress doesn't move and do something, I think there's going to be an outcry of which we have not heard in our lifetime.
Oh, I'm just talking about the removal of children and those images of children being separated from their parents. Will that have an effect on the midterm elections?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, okay. I do.
You've also endorsed Martha McSally on the Republican side for Senate. If you look at the three Republicans, Martha McSally was kind of neutral on this. She said she would prefer a different outcome. But if you look at Joe Arpaio and Kelly Ward, they supported the policy of the president. There aren't many people that support the policy of the president. Ward and Arpaio supported the policy of the president.
Right.
Do you think that's going to hurt him? Because I think they would support that.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Kelly Ward will now pivot and support the president of the United States.
What do you mean by that? They'll pivot.
That he did the right thing.
That he took the kids away from their parents.
No,
in the first place,
that he did the right thing today.
Oh, I see.
Signing the executive order.
I see.
But
okay.
How can they say that he did the right thing today if he was right yesterday by separating the parents from the kids?
Oh, boy.
You can't have it both ways.
In politics, they want to now we've used the word. What is it? Evolve.
Evolve.
That's why you were a great politician. I'll tell you that. Former Governor Jan Brewer, Mac and Gatos political insider. She knows all the buzzwords.
She does.
She can predict the future.
That's right.
Former Governor, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right. Governor Brewer, every Wednesday. We will get more into this as the show goes. This will be a big part of the Big Four at Four. Four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour. Trump reversing his course on separating children from their parents at the border. Just huge. All right. Coming up next. Remember the local story of the 10-year-old Buckeye boy who was killed. We've got the autopsy report. Does it prove he was murdered? We'll tell you in a moment.
Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, June 30th is right around the corner. Deadline to nominate a Valley veteran to be one of the seven veteran grand marshals at the Phoenix Veterans Day Parade, November 12th. Text the word parade to 411-923. KTAR's Honor Our Heroes is presented by Sanderson Ford.
You know, I think it was 2016 in Buckeye. Police were called out to a house, and there was a report of a 10-year-old boy missing, and his name was Jesse Wilson. And, you know, we've talked about this child throughout the years. He died. His bones were recently found at a Buckeye farm. They were identified as Jesse's, and everybody wanted to know, how'd he die?
Yeah, they didn't charge anybody yet. They still don't know what happened that night.
So, it seems that he may have walked away from their home in the middle of the night. Apparently, he had done that in the past. I don't know if that's the exact story of what did happen.
Right.
That's what they're thinking happened. So when the bones were found just recently, I think you and I were saying, all right, we've got to find out who killed this kid. Who murdered a little 10-year-old boy? Do we know? The toxicology reports are in.
And the autopsy's in. The toxicology report says he had nothing but common allergy medication in his system.
So he wasn't poisoned or...
But as far as what the bones can give up, they do not know the cause of death. They do not know the time of death. The cause of death is listed as unknown.
So technology only goes so far.
Right. So basically this autopsy doesn't answer questions. It only creates more questions.
So we don't know exactly how he died either.
No.
We don't know when.
Cause of death, manner of death, no.
So here's what we know. We know that he's gone.
Yeah.
We don't know how. Right? We don't know when and we don't know where he died. We just know that his bones were found in Buckeye at a farm.
Right.
But we have no idea exactly how he was killed, when, where. And now you list it as unknown, and it's even more shady to me.
Well, not only more shady, but it's harder to prove or harder to pin something on somebody if they do make an arrest. It's you know, the one, Scott Peterson, that horrible murder that he
killed
his wife.
Wife and she was pregnant?
And pregnant.
Many years ago?
But it's hard to prove without some... It's harder to prove, I should say, without some kind of autopsy. And he was convicted, don't get me wrong. It can be done. But it's... You want to know what happened that night to build a case. You want to know the time and the place.
Well, you just
as
want a
well
name.
As the manner.
You want to know who killed the kid. Who would kill a 10-year-old kid and let's get that person off the street?
Well,
but I don't think we're ever going to know.
And as long as you can't, if there isn't other evidence, you can't go back to the autopsy and say, well, it was done by a certain blade knife. And boy, you own that blade or
right.
You own that knife. So that's some credible evidence against that person. It's just much tougher.
No witness.
Mm-mm.
No murder weapon.
No. And I hate to say it, but there is a suspicion about mom.
Yep.
Because mom has left the state. She has not been really forthcoming with stuff. She just reported him gone.
How did his bones end up at a Buckeye farm?
Right.
Is there any possibility that he wandered out to the farm and somehow fell off something, wasn't murdered, wasn't killed? There's just maybe a freak accident? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, the likelihood
there's a possibility.
Of that, yeah, but the likelihood of that doesn't seem very plausible.
No, no. So the autopsy, the toxicology it's in, we still don't know why 10-year-old Jesse Wilson.
It's just a shame. It really is.
Died. Wow. When we return, which Arizona politicians actually supported Trump's policy of separating children from their parents at the border? We'll call them out next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, we've got four big blockbuster stories for you at 4:05. We bring you the big four at four. We take the first 20 minutes of the 4 o'clock hour. We bring you four big blockbuster stories. One of them certainly will be Trump pulling a 180. I don't know why he signed an executive order to change
a policy that he
didn't have to sign anything. He just said, okay, let's just not separate families anymore. It's barbaric.
Right.
No, but he went through this whole thing, and we'll talk about it coming up. We've got another incident. And, you know, I'm starting to like these. I've changed my mind on this. I was a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, why are we continuing to get, you know,
allegations of excessive force
by the Mesa police? And now I like that we're getting these videos out and these lawyers that are going after the police department, because, boy, these videos are really making me think the Mesa Police Department, and they're doing a good job. And this last one, I think they're doing a good job.
So you've got the latest incident that has come to light. It's from November 2017, and basically it's excessive force. But this time, it's the way that the officers used handcuffs.
Okay. So let's go through it. The guy has come forward. He claims that the cops ignored his repeated requests for help when he was being detained. Okay. So when they go in, they ask him to put his hands up, right? I mean, you got to stand up. We've heard this before.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to ask you again. Stand up.
Okay. So how many times have we heard, I'm not going to ask you again to stand up? You know, if you don't want to listen to me, something's not going to be good.
Right.
So we got another guy again refusing to listen to the police. As soon as they come in, there is this man who absolutely refuses to do what the police told him to do.
And there's a struggle, and the man eventually was led outside and hogtied.
Right.
In other words, they had to carry him out. He wasn't willing to walk out on his own, under his own whatever. And he's saying that they didn't understand how much pain he was in with the handcuffs.
Well, why did he fight them while they put the handcuffs on
him? That's a great question.
I'll say it again. Why did the guy fight the police when he put the handcuffs on? Mac, you know what? If I had a pair of handcuffs right now and I put them on you and you just put your hands out, I could easily put them on you and make sure they're comfortable. If you want to fight me, do you think the handcuffs are going to be comfortable? Because you're struggling. You're struggling a lot.
And it's also the way he was hogtied, too, that that's not a comfortable way to be escorted out of a building, either. So
here's more of the video.
Give us your hands right now! Give us your hands!
So give us your hands. He's screaming at him.
Right.
The guy's fighting the cops.
Now, the attorney is saying,
before the attorney, let me play one more clip. This is the man who says he's getting hurt.
Dude, my wrist hurts. Yeah, it's supposed to.
Yeah, dude, my blanket hands hurt. Well, and then the cop said, dude, or whatever, it's supposed to. He's right. If you squirm, you get away from police,
it's not supposed to hurt.
It does if you don't let them place the handcuffs on you.
But does that mean that the officer purposely made it hurt to get back at this guy?
You can't prove that. I don't think you can prove it.
Of course you can prove it.
How?
Of course.
How?
If this guy's wrist is broken, if it's swollen, if
he's resisting, he's going to get his wrist broken in the fight.
This goes down the line of, because you resist, does that give the police the right to break your bones or do harm to you?
No, but you could get your bone broken.
The lawyer says handcuffing is a use of force.
If you're struggling,
and that use of force, just like other use of force, has to be reasonable.
If you're struggling with the police, the handcuffs might be too tight, or they might be too loose, or I don't know. You can't put handcuffs on a guy. It's hard to put handcuffs on a guy who's struggling and doesn't want to give you the hands.
Right.
So when they get you in the cuffs and the guy says it's hurting, well, no duh. If you would just put your hands out, we would have put them on you.
But when
very
the
nice
officer says, yeah, it's supposed to, I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to respond in that situation, because it looks like you're doing it now on purpose. Handcuffs aren't supposed to hurt. They're supposed to stop you from being able to use your hands.
I think you're
going to have to ask the officer, okay, what was the intention
here? I think there's a possibility of the handcuffs hurting if you're putting
them on. But it's not supposed to.
During a struggle.
Right. It's not supposed to, though.
Well, you're not supposed to struggle either. You're not supposed to struggle. You're supposed to just put your hands out and let the cops cuff you. You would have been fine if you put your hands out and the cops cuffed you.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So if you struggle, you know what?
You don't deserve to be broken. You don't deserve to have your...
I didn't say
you
that.
Don't deserve a butt whooping.
I didn't say
because
that.
No, you don't have to.
I know.
But you're automatically assuming if you resist, you deserve to have whatever happens to you.
No, I didn't say that.
That's exactly what happened.
No.
That's exactly what happened. If he didn't resist, the handcuffs wouldn't have hurt.
Right.
The handcuffs don't have to hurt even if he resists. That's the thing.
But they could. They could because you're struggling.
No. When he says, yeah, it's supposed to, that is leading somebody to believe that if you resist, I'm going to hurt you. That's not a good look for the Mesa PD, at least in my opinion from this one officer. That means that, yeah, I'm going to hurt you if you're going to resist.
Are you going to loosen the cuffs?
I'm not loosening the cuffs. No, you don't say, yeah, it's supposed to hurt.
Well, I'm not loosening. The guy said, loosen the cuffs. And they're like, no. I'm not loosening the cuffs. You just fought me.
Right.
I'm not loosening the cuffs.
You don't have to loosen it, but you also don't have to say, if you resist, I'm going to hurt you. It's supposed to hurt. And I think, is going to get him into a little bit of trouble. I'm not saying he should lose his job.
Well, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think he should lose his job.
I think
you have a little bit of redirection or retraining here when somebody says, yeah, it's supposed to.
I think you have an ambulance chaser and a smear job. I think that's what, and we got activists that are out there saying, well, every time a cop pulls somebody over and it doesn't go real well,
it's
the police officer's fault, and I don't buy that.
It is interesting that this is from November 2017. Well, what happened in December of 2017? Like, why is this coming to light? Why in the past 2.5 weeks have we suddenly heard?
Because of one video.
Yeah.
Because it's the one video of the Mesa police punching the man. But you know, but nobody ever talks about what happened before that. The guy that they were trying to at least talk to broke into an apartment.
No, that has not been proven. You can't prove that yet. He has not been convicted. They were called out to a domestic violence call.
The police were called.
A breaking and entering.
There was a breaking in and entering.
But we can't say that he was the guy that broke in.
He was the guy that broke in with his friend, yes.
No.
Okay, do the research because that's what I saw.
No, he hasn't been convicted. He has not been convicted of the crime.
They dropped the charges. There's no conviction.
He could be totally innocent.
There's no conviction, but he was there during a break-in, and that's why 911 was called.
They asked him to sit down, and he would not comply. No, he wouldn't get up.
I'm going to the point where he was breaking into an apartment with his buddy. And that's why the police were called. The police weren't called for no reason. And
right,
so
they're responding to a break-in.
Right. The guy was breaking into an apartment. So then they ask him to sit down, and he didn't. And he's looking at his phone. And by the way, he's 4 stories up. He's right in front of an elevator. It's a very dangerous place to be. And he didn't want to do anything for the cops. Now they punched him out. You can have an argument that that's too far. I thought it went too far after they knocked him out. But before that,
why did all four of them take a shot at this guy, like swarm on him?
They felt he was going to attack. Now, that you can argue that one all day long. But all these other videos that have come out of Mesa Police, I don't find a problem. I don't know. Some of the same activists.
But it's been like in the last
Anthony Ramirez is the lawyer here. He's an ambulance chaser, just like the rest of these
guys. But it's been 2.5 weeks that you have suddenly all these this flurry of allegations that suddenly like Mesa PD has gone nuts.
They haven't gone nuts. Yeah, they haven't gone nuts. It is a total smear job. It's really sad. It's a total smear job. People who are doing things wrong and not allowing an officer to at least talk to them or arrest them, they're looking for money. And they're putting the videos out. And they're wrong, and in some cases the police are wrong too.
Yeah, the cops need to. And we talked to Paul Penzone about this, Maricopa County Sheriff. Sometimes there's a need to address the situation, better training, and a better way to do your job. I'm all for that.
Yeah, me too. Do the investigation because these videos that come out, this one with the handcuff, I got no problem with it. Coming up next, we're going to do gut check time. Mac and Gatos, stick around.
Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's Gut Check Time with Mac and Gatos.
All right, Gatos, I got a gut check for you on a story you have not seen. You like to go to the movies.
Love it. All right, saw Solo.
All right.
Han Solo.
Did you see it in an AMC theater?
I don't remember. I think it was Harkins.
All right, yeah, AMC Theaters, which is in here, which is in the valley here.
Mm-hmm. Nice cushy seats.
Unveiling a $20 a month subscription service, and the theater chain announced the new service as a loyalty program, allowing subscribers to see up to 3 movies a week for a monthly fee of $19.95. Now, That's more expensive, some would say, than a movie pass, which is their rival.
$20 a month per person.
Is this a good idea? Do people go to the movies that much to get almost like a rewards pass or some kind of rewards program?
I know that everybody has a rewards program, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to do the math here. $20, if I were to pay $20 a month and my wife was going to pay $20 a month, would we get the bang for our buck?
There you go.
Okay,
would you go to see three movies
a week? No.
Up to three movies a week?
No.
For a flat fee?
Of course not. No. But can I get it and go to two movies a month? Would that make it sense? Probably not.
Well, what? Tickets
maybe.
Are 10, 12 bucks?
13. Lloyd! Did you go see Mr. Rogers? How much did that ticket cost you?
Like 12 bucks?
Oh, my goodness. 15 bucks.
What? To see Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. What a manly movie.
Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Yeah, there was all kinds of fees with that ticket. It was $12, and then there were fees on the ticket, too.
Wow.
I don't know. $20 per person? Nah. I don't think so.
Yeah, with Netflix and all this other subscription stuff, I just don't know why they would offer this. But AMC says it will change the way people will see movies. I don't know how.
What if you have a big family? I think it's
right.
Probably right.
Oh,
I think it'd probably be at work.
It'd be like the Costco move, yeah, that if you have a large family,
the
then it makes sense.
The Costco move, right.
Yeah.
Nothing's free anymore.
No.
You can't go anywhere and get something free. Would you do it if you went to the movies, which you don't?
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, you're gonna
when
have,
I do it, when I don't, no.
You know you're going to have to go see that Incredibles 2 movie with the kids.
I already have said we will go
see
the
movie.
I hear
it's great. You saw the first one, right?
2 weeks ago I saw the first one.
You did?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Wow, you're growing.
She is.
you're just growing.
Sister is a huge Incredibles fan, so we sat down and watched it on DVD.
Nice.
Yeah.
And she loved it.
And I liked it. I mean,
good.
I thought
no,
it was a good movie, too.
It's good. You should go in on this. Go and get it. Start going to the movie.